for tuning in to New Jersey Revolution Radio for this special broadcast from the Left Forum in New York City, a tribute to Bruce Dixon, a Chicago Black Panther and founding member of the Black Agenda Report. Rest in power, Bruce.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon to all my comrades. My name is Asan Gordon from the Ture. I am a dues-paying member of several organizations. That includes Black Alliance for Peace. That includes the Green Party Philadelphia. That includes the Philadelphia Tenants Union in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We're here this afternoon, originally to be part of a workshop called Reparations and Its Discontent. The workshop panelists would have been myself, our beloved brother and comrade Bruce Dixon, and Pascal Robert. Pascal couldn't be here. Bruce was planning on being here, but as you all know, he joined the ancestors Friday afternoon. So, you know, I'm a church sister, Glenn, but this ain't my thing, right? Bruce was my big brother, my friend, my comrade. And I'm probably going to cry this afternoon, but we're going to do this, right? So, I was thinking, and I'm glad that other comrades agreed, that since we didn't or couldn't have the workshop, that we would pay tribute to Bruce Dixon and the work that he did all these many years of his life, the people he influenced, the people he mentored, the people he encouraged, and things like that. And we certainly do appreciate Bruce's contribution to the struggle. Real briefly, I'll just say that regarding the workshop, Reparations and Its Discontents, I was very excited about the possibility of that workshop. Bruce and I, about 3 or 4 months ago, participated in a conference call sponsored by the Green Party, where we had a discussion about reparations. And some of you probably know that it's becoming more big debate, a big conversation, etc. But we were discussing that not so many people were against reparations, but there's a lot of story and history and struggle around reparations that much of the public may not be aware of. And we were going to have that discussion in this workshop and be prepared to step on a few toes, be it as it may. But anywho, so we're going to go on. We're going to go on in the spirit of Bruce. And we're going to go on and continue to do the work that we must do. So we want to start off with some brief comments from our comrades from Black Agenda Report, Margaret Kimberly and Glenn Ford.
Thank you, Asanto. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
This is a difficult day, difficult weekend for us, obviously. I was on a panel today that Bruce invited me to be on with Howie Hawkins, and he sent me a text a few weeks ago about that, and he was optimistic about being here, and even though his treatment was no longer working, he was getting blood transfusion, and he felt like he could come, and even when it seemed like he couldn't be here, I thought, well, I'll be here on Skype or something. The last thing I imagined was that he was not going to be here anywhere, that he was going to be gone as this weekend began. And I posted on Facebook earlier today some photos of him at Black Agenda Report, it's not Black Agenda Report, is it at Left Forum? As a Black Agenda Report team, at Left Forum over the years. And I like Bruce, well, I liked him as a person. He was a very sweethearted person, very devoted to his family, his wife and kids and grandkids. And he was an organic farmer. And I used to look on Facebook and I'd say to myself, if there was an apocalypse, I'm going to Bruce's house and look like he's growing food and everything would be okay. And he was a mentor to me. I learned, every time I spoke to him, I learned something new. He's the first Green Party person I got to know personally, that I got to know well. And he'd always tell me these great stories about Chicago, an election day in Chicago, and people getting locked up, you know, and they let you out when the polls closed. He always had these great stories about about his days then. So he was a very dear person a very dear person, a mentor to me, a friend, one of the founders of Black Agenda Report. We would not have Black Agenda Report were it not for him. And he contributed up until last week. That was the last piece he sent to us. So I will always love him. I will always think of him with the fondest of memories. So Bruce Dixon, presente. Thank you.
Bruce was a lifelong activist and organizer from his days in the Panther Party under Fred Hampton in Chicago, and then decades of community organization work in Chicago and organizing countless Democratic aldermanic and state rep and congressional campaigns there. Duties that he learned a great deal from, and one of the things he said he learned was how much time he wasted. But it wasn't all wasted. He learned a great deal about the workings of Black Democrats in Chicago, which are similar to the workings of Black Democrats everywhere. But when I met him in 2002, the Black Commentator, which is the predecessor to Black Agenda Report, was only a few months old. And Cynthia McKinney, who had been the target of, in 2002 was a very, very important political year. Then that was the year that big right-wing capital, for the first time in history, jumped into the into Black Democratic politics at the local level. They had never touched that. That was Black stuff, and they didn't know how to get involved. But finally they did, and they decided they would treat the Black polity the same way they treated environmentalists, and so they would create AstroTurf organizations and such. But they finally got beyond their rabid, reflexive racism and decided that let's corrupt the Black people too. And that 2002 was the year they did that. And that's the year that Cynthia McKinney lost her seat the first time behind a right-wing corporate backed candidate. Black congressman, rather progressive in Alabama, fell to the same forces. And Cory Booker, who was the fair-haired child of that right-wing corporate movement, almost won in Newark. That was his first run for Newark. 4 years later, he did win. So Cynthia McKinney had just lost, and I wrote a piece about her dignified defeat. I can't remember the exact headline. And I get a letter from this guy who says, well, you know, she certainly was defeated, but I don't know how dignified it was. And he proceeds to offer an analysis of why she lost. And he had come to Atlanta. He was living in Atlanta, and he actually tried to help Cynthia in her campaign. And it was a brilliant analysis. Not only of Cynthia's campaign, but of the larger Black electoral and progressive politics scene. So, boom, he became a comrade with the Black Commentator immediately. We would meet Margaret under similar circumstances about 2 months later. But so we decided, well, what are we going to do about this dignified or undignified defeat of Cynthia McKinney? Well, what the bourgeois media was doing was promulgating the line straight from their masters that civil rights style Black politics was old hat, and Black people were entering the middle class in such huge numbers that, as everybody knows, the more money Black people make, the more conservative they become. But in fact, many studies had already shown that that's not the case. They're just moving up a couple of notches on the income ladder does not make Black folks less radical-minded. So we said, well, how do we disprove that? Anyway, Bruce used or made available his in-depth understanding of how elections actually work to allow us at Black Commentator to do an analysis of Cynthia McKinney's defeat. And what we found by going meticulously through all of the returns was that Cynthia had won 70% of the black vote. In the second most prosperous county, majority black county in the country, that's DeKalb County. Only Prince George's, Maryland has wealthier blacks than DeKalb County, which disproves, and Cynthia was considered a radical, which disproves that theory that middle-class blacks, like in DeKalb County, become more and more conservative, and that they will become a check. They did not. And that just started the, it actually reshaped or redirected where we were trying to take that commentator, and then 3 years later, Black Agenda Report, how we intervene in the black and left, black left and larger left dialogue, how we can not just bring insights, but exercise some discipline on the left. And so just 30 seconds more, I think the best example of that, and Bruce had a guiding hand in this, was our response to the disastrous encounter between Black Lives Matter and Hillary Clinton, in which they had a debate with the person who everyone assumed would become president and presented no demands, to the point where she had to say, aren't you guys going to ask me what I'm going to do? And they had nothing. You know? And we, of course, castigated them righteously. Well, that's, we believe that that is disciplining the movement. And you need institutions to do that. And Black Agenda Report tries to be one of them, and we wish we had more company in doing that. None of this shaping of our mission would have been possible without Bruce Dixon. His mark is all over it. Thank you.
Mm. Next, I want to ask the next president of the United States of America, Green Party candidate for president, Howie Hawkins.
It's hard because Bruce was one of my favorite people on the planet. I didn't know him, I didn't know much about him until that article, Black Commentator, about the McKinney campaign. I said, man, this guy knows a lot about elections. And pretty soon, I can't remember how we hooked up at first, but the Greens needed his knowledge. And he was spreading it. More recently, I mean, I wouldn't be even think about running if Bruce wasn't one of the people that asked me to run. I mean, I just finished, I retired from the Teamsters, Greens made me run for governor. I was in the damn post office in a Capital Mail handler working 12-hour shifts making little money. And people are emailing each other. There's a whole team of people out there. Bruce leading the charge. And part of the reason was we had worked together on why the left needs a membership party where you're a member, you agree to principles, you pay dues, and it's funded like we do in the labor movement. We got $6 billion in the labor movement. We don't control the unions, but there's money there. We need to do the same thing. And the socialist tradition is you belong to your co-ops, your trade union, and your party. And this country hasn't had a left party like that. Socialists kind of got their, you know, in the 19-teens, 1912, up until World War I. But that was something, and we put together a PowerPoint together. He did the PowerPoint. I had wrote an article, and then he said, we got to put this in a PowerPoint and talk to people. And, you know, we were planning this workshop. I mean, it's really sudden. I mean, Bruce, when he first got sick, said, I got 10 years, and we're only about 5 years into it. So, you know, this came on sudden, and it wasn't expected. And, you know, a lot of us are going to miss him, just in terms of the things that we all want to see done. And I'll tell you, I didn't know he gardened, but I'll tell you, he makes pancakes. I mean, I hadn't had pancakes in a long time. I was down, stayed at his house on my first campaign trip, and he made pancakes for breakfast, and they tasted so good, I tried to go to IHOP and eat pancakes. What a mistake, man. So I'm gonna miss his pancakes. You know, that I can just say, those of you that didn't know him, it's too bad you didn't, because he was really a great person. And in the way that, you know, Margaret was describing him, he was, you know, it was nice to meet his family. I hadn't met his wife before, and You know, when we talk, sometimes we talk about, you know, dealing with his kids and family, you know, that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not so good, but it's, you know, you need to talk about it. So, you know, gonna miss him a lot, and I'm glad we just had this opportunity to remember him. Thanks.
Thank you. Danny, do you have some remarks?
Yes, sure. So I'm Danny Haifong. I contribute to Black Agenda Report, and I'll just give a little personal aside. So I was in college in 2013, about to graduate. This was the height of Snowden, you know, the leaks, Chelsea Manning, and I had put my application, I was a social work major, put my application to the city of Cambridge, and the police department called saying, hey, you want to be a social worker? And I had already known that the Cambridge Police Department was in on drones and in on all this. And this is before I had started running for Black Agenda Report. And I was like, what do I do? Glenn talked about disciplining the movement. I was young, but I'd only, you know, flirted with Occupy Wall Street for a little bit and interned at a labor union. So I was raw. I didn't know jack shit. So I emailed him because I had been reading Black Agenda Report voraciously. I was like, holy, like, these guys know what they're talking about. So I emailed him. I knew he had a union background. I knew, you know, he talked all about Black Panther Party's roots after, you know, a lot of Black veterans from World War II, that kind of thing, and how the Black Panther Party really emerged from that history. So I emailed him and said, what do I do? And unlike others who I knew who were saying, you're Colenso Pro, you're this, you're that, you're a cop, you want to be a cop, like, I had people just completely cut off communication with me. He just said straight up, look, I have family who did that. I have family who went to the military, who never left. It changes you. And I was like, that's all I needed to hear. and you know, that was that. So Bruce Dixon just had such a, such a relationship to the people that I think we're all going to miss. I know we have like a gender report, really going to miss his technical expertise, his organizing expertise. That stuff is really difficult to find in this period of crisis and reaction. So, so I love the guy, and yeah, it was a horrible thing to hear, but I know that we'll carry the struggle forward.
Joe Lombardo, United National Anti-War Coalition. Otherwise known as KPOP, because Joe is now a new grandpa.
I can't say I will personally miss him because I didn't know him too much as a person, just as a political person. But we can't afford to lose political people of the caliber of Bruce Dixon. I knew he was sick. I didn't know he died until I came here. It was just a hard thing to hear. But I know that I will continue, and I know everyone else in this room will continue to carry on the struggle that Bruce Dixon was involved with. We've all learned from him, and we have to do our best to make sure that he continues in spirit and in movement. Thank you.
We had Margaret Flowers and Kevin D. If you want to say a few words.
She's up for
that. All right, thank you for that opportunity. So I was trying to remember when I met Bruce the first time, or when I first knew of him, but I know it's been a long time. From his, you know, I knew him back when it was Black Commentator, and then it just became Black Agenda Report. I knew of him at that point. And then I went to a workshop in Chicago that he led, and was just like blown away by his nuts and bolts knowledge. Like, I learned so much in that workshop just because his experience was so practical. And I just remember him giving me advice like, oh, well, we just go down to the courthouse and we sign everybody who's coming out of there up for the Green Party because, you know, they're all, you know, that's our people, our audience, you know. And I was like, wow, that makes so much sense. But I love Bruce because of his candor. You know, he always just said it the way it was. and his humor and his kindness. You know, anytime that I called him, he never was like, oh, you know, I'm busy, get out of here. It was all, you know, he talked to you, right? And same thing, you know, answering emails. You know, he was always so generous with his time. And taught me a lot about organizing in the Green Party. We tried to get him into the steering committee of the Green Party last year because we knew that the Green Party kind of needed Bruce. And we needed somebody who could just, like, not only just tell it like it is, but tell you how you, like, change it, what we need to do. And I'm really sad that that didn't happen. But he was always there behind us as somebody that we could reach out to and get advice from. And he was co-chair of Howie Hawkins' campaign for the presidential nomination and was very active on that, and weekly calls and writing and things like that. And it's just, you know, we all knew he was sick. We knew he would be, like, on calls from outside the hospital, or we had to, like, arrange it around his treatments, but he never let on about how serious it was and never complained about it. And so it was a total shock on Monday when Andre, the campaign manager, said, you know, I just talked to Bruce, he's in the hospital, he doesn't sound so good. And I just thought, well, he's gonna pull through. You know? And then Wednesday she called and said he's on life support and his organs are shutting down. And then on Friday, she said, well, they've decided to stop the life support. And even then, you know, I was talking to her and she, you know, I was like, I'm not talking in the past tense. I'm not going to talk in the past tense. I'm not going to let go of the hope that Bruce might still pull through this. Even though I'm a doctor, I know that once that happens, it's not a good time. But it was just like, I couldn't let myself go there. And then, of course, the next call was that he had died. So I think that for me personally, this is a call that we have to pick up the work that Bruce has done for his entire life. He had big priorities around getting the Green Party on the ballot in every state. He was really hurt that in 2016, Georgia was not made a priority by the Green Party to get ballot access. And so I think we have to make it a priority. And that, as a co-chair, I'm going to push for that. But I think we need to get Georgia on the ballot. We need to keep building and telling the truth as Bruce did. And I know I'll never match who he was as a person, but I'll do what I can. And I think that we all will. I think he's touched so many people. So I'm really sorry to my left and the report families. I know what a big loss it is to all of you. And thank you for letting me share with you.
Well, I think we were all very lucky that Bruce Dixon was in our lives. I was on a conference call with him for the Howie Hawkins campaign the last week, and we were so pleased to see him at the call. So it was Zoom calls, we could see him. And the fact that he was there made us hope that things were getting better. But then, as Marty said, we had news after news of the situation going in a bad direction, and when the news came that we lost him, it was devastating to all of us, and we're so glad we can be here together. People understand that. Bruce really brought together some amazing long-term deep skills from his own personal history, not only as a poor person growing up in Chicago, but then as a high school and college kid, active in politics, active in electoral politics, movement politics, issue-based, understanding, and then taking all that together as he moved to Georgia and started to write with you all, and Black Gender Report became the fantastic publication that it is today. He brought together all that information and did some political analysis that no one else could do. And that changed the thinking of people who read it. I think about, you know, his article early in the last presidential campaign where he described Bernie Sanders as a sheepdog.
Yep.
A sheepdog of the Democratic Party.
Yep.
And his job was to keep people in the Democratic Party. Sanders' job was to keep people in the Democratic Party. And he said it so clearly. And then I remember people quoting it, sometimes giving Bruce credit, sometimes not. Because it was a brilliant analysis. And we're going to miss his commentary in this 2020 election. Because I'm sure he brings some clarity to that as well. And as in the Green Party, you know, what I loved about Bruce, and what people also hated about Bruce, is how it often is, and so about so much about ourselves, our love and hate, our strength and weakness, are often the same, was that he was a truth teller. Some people love truth tellers because they want to hear the truth. Other people don't want to hear the truth. They can't handle the truth. But Bruce told it anyway. And there are a lot of Bernie Sanders people pissed off about that sheepdog stuff. They didn't like that. And if the Green Party had listened to Bruce and his agenda of concerns, we would be a viable political party. And one of the great disappointments in my life is that the Green Party rejected Bruce as a steering committee member. This is a supreme political analyst, political organizer, political activist, and the Green Party rejected him and elected someone with no political skill, no history. It showed me how much work we have to do. So even in that defeat, and what's great about that defeat from Bruce's perspective, he didn't turn around and leave the room. He recommitted.
Yep.
He recommitted to the Green Party. They rejected him. He didn't say, I'm leaving. He said, we need a viable Green Party. I'm going to do what I can to make it viable. That's the kind of organizer I love. A truth teller who knows he is right. He knows the people who rejected him are rejected for their own personal reasons. They want to keep the Green Party small. They can control it. They want to be a big fish in a small pond. They don't want a big party. No, Bruce wants it. What I want is how we have ordered one. We all want a serious political party that wins thousands of elections. And that's what Bruce wanted as well. And he didn't give up. And the fact that he was on our conference call in the last week of his life for the Hawkins campaign shows incredible commitment. Incredible commitment. And I know I'm talking to you, Glenn, that's how Bruce was. He worked, I think he wrote to me and said, he worked till every day he stood, and he was lying down and kept working then too. So Bruce is someone we are going to miss. He's someone we can't replace, but we can all do our best to follow his lead, and what we can say, rest in power, Bruce Dixon.
I want to add to that one of the kind of play arguments I had with Bruce a few years ago was about paying dues. Now, I've never been opposed to paying dues. You know, I'm 62 years old. I've been in an organization since I was 18. And every organization I've ever been a member of, we had to pay dues. Mm-hmm. If you were unemployed, you paid a dollar. If you had a little bit of a job, you paid $1.50. Whatever it was, right? So when Bruce was raising that issue about paying dues, it didn't offend me. I wasn't resistant to it because I grew up in the movement having to pay dues, right? But I appreciate him bringing it up again and again and again, because for all the things we say we want this movement to do, we have to take political and financial responsibility for our movement and our organizations. And that means that when our movement or in our organizations have difficulties, we need to step up. Again, if you're unemployed, pay 50 cents, pay a dollar, whatever. Right? So I'm behind in my dues in the Green Party, but I'm about to get caught up. Don't worry. But I do want to say that Kevin Zeese and Margaret Flowers remind me again of our political and financial responsibility to our movement. I want to commend the Venezuela Protection Collective and what they did at the Venezuelan Embassy in D.C. for over 30 days. Let's give them a round of applause. And so I know that struggle is not over. I'm anticipating there will be, you know, some fundraising that cover legal expenses and whatever, So when you get an email or a Facebook blast or whatever from Kevin Zeese, Margaret Flowers, Dr. Adrian Pine, or the other comrade,
David Paul,
then we need to dig into our pockets, however much you got, and put some money in that legal fund. So you can hold me to a pledge of $50.
Wow.
Now, but it may be an installment. You can hold me to a pledge of $50. But seriously, this is what we're going to have to do. And this is how we pay tribute to Bruce Dixon and the work that he did. I want to end in a few minutes because I know it's very warm in here. And I do appreciate everyone's patience. And I appreciate everyone coming. So if anyone else has some brief remarks they would like to make, let's do that now, and then we can end. Yes, Gloria. And tell us who you are, Gloria.
Gloria Matera, one of the co-chairs, along with Margaret, of the National Steering Committee and co-chair here at the Green Party in New York. And so, no, I, of course, knew of Bruce before. I knew Bruce, and we... I got to meet him some years ago. But I guess Bruce and I and Howie were on a panel last year at the forum, so it's kind of hard. Bruce is not here again. You know, a lot of what we talked about was the Green Party becoming a dues-paying organization. We were one of the first here in New York to do that. We learned a lot from Bruce about how to do that. And the other way I really knew Bruce was when he was working. We were together working on the Stop Baraka campaign. Where Bruce really, the truth is, Bruce was ill then too. And I think saying the same thing that people are saying right now, working in the Hawkins campaign, you didn't really know it, you didn't complain about it. You just said, well, I'm going into the hospital and I'm going to do this bone marrow thing. And so I got to be isolated, but I could be on my phone and I could be on the computer. And that was just amazing, the work he put in there. And the other thing, which I think is not something that's typical on the left, because we get so entrenched in our positions, is that Bruce was always with, we sparred on some things, not so much about being on the same different side of the issue, but maybe the tactics. But it was always comradely, it was always principled. And what I loved about Bruce is like, and then we could sit and talk about his garden and his kids and his grandkids. And he asked me about my son, because there was a human element always that Bruce brought to the debate, whether you were on the same side or not. And you didn't forget that you were a person with family and there were other aspects of you besides the political argument or the political comradeship that you were in. And he didn't let you forget that he was a person because he always brought it about his kids or about his garden. And so he will be sorely missed, you know, whether we always agreed or not. He was an important person, not just in the Green Party, but in the movement. I know for Black Agenda Report, for the Hawkins campaign, that is really a big loss in terms of what he would continue to bring to it, and he won't. So I'm hoping that we'll continue that work together. Thank you.
Anyone else? I could say very briefly, as a person, I didn't know him. I have seen him talk, I never spoke with him directly. But just as a reader of Black Commentator and Black Agenda Report, I mean, I appreciate so much what I read from you all, and also from Bruce. It was just always, I always knew when I had a chance to read something of his that it was going to be a nugget of brilliance, cogent thinking, original good thinking, clearly expressed and to the point. And that was just something that I just really appreciated. I'm sure many, many, many people who he never knew and who were not personally connected, but it's a really broad reach, I think, that he had. And so, if you all ever think that you don't reach people, then, you know, it's good to know that you actually are.
Thank you.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm Craig Cayetano. I'm newer to Green Party, 3 years now in the Green Party. I stepped up as a national delegate last year and
when we were voting for steering committee, I was doing a lot of research on Bruce and reading his articles, and we were in support of him in New Jersey, and I wish he would have been elected, but we had some stuff recently in New Jersey, and I reached out to Bruce, took some advice. This was before our national convention, or state convention, I should say, and what he said to me propelled me to step up, and now I'm one of the co-chairs of New Jersey. So I had actually spoke with him on Monday as well, and he just basically gave me, he spoke with me for like 15 minutes, and then at the end he's like, oh, you know, I'm at the hospital, you should need to call back. I'm like, well, keep fighting. And he told me, just double down on what I'm doing, and I'm going to double down on going into my communities and organize and just keep engaging with people and just take his words to heart. I just am so gracious that he was able to take my call and just, you know, inspire me to do what I'm doing. I'm just going to keep going. That's it. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you. Anyone else want to share?
And I appreciate everyone being here and everyone's faces on the side here. I do appreciate it. So, anyone else? Okay, well, if not, please stay tuned for Black Agenda Report. I'm assuming there'll be some type of memorial, something on the Black Agenda Report website. Also, I'm assuming there'll be some information on how to send condolences to Bruce's family. Right? Okay. So, at some point, I want to make sure that we stay in contact with Kevin Zeitz and Margaret Flowers and the Venezuelan Protection Collective. I know I didn't say that right, but you know what I'm saying. Let's stay in contact with them and be prepared to make donations to the Legal Defense Fund, because that's going to be important too. And let's stay organized, let's stay in contact, and let's organize and fight to win. All right, so unless anyone else has something else to share, I think we should close this out. Yes, Howard.
There'll be a memorial service for Bruce in Atlanta on next Saturday.
Can we know what time?
Do you know what time and where?
I don't know that yet.
Okay. Well, someone between you and Black Lives Report can connect everybody soon.
ASAP. If we can just find out this morning or afternoon, we can figure out travel up. Send anybody finds out.
Okay. Well, whoever, as soon as you find out those details, please share on all the social media so we can plan accordingly. All right.
Thank you.
Any luck? Well, bring us back. You have to be quiet. So, does anyone else have anything else you want to share? Okay.
All right.
Who's
Thank you for joining us on New Jersey Revolution Radio for this tribute to the great Bruce Dixon. Rest in power.